Christmas shopping. We got a long way to go. Any other people here still need to do some shopping? It's coming quickly, isn't it? Now, I wish I could stand up here and tell you, hey, well, it's a spiritual thing, and we truly understand what Christmas is about, and that's why we're not into all the gifts, but that isn't the case. In fact, it was one of the reasons why I thought it'd be good for us to get back to what Christmas is all about. And we've been doing it through this series called Christmas Presents, because a lot of times our heart, along with the Christmas season itself, has been taken to places far from its original intention. And to help bring it back home, well, we thought, well, let's break down the classic Christmas story. You know, the one with that you see in people's front porch or under the tree. It's the nativity scene. It's the one with baby Jesus, and you got Mary, and you got Joseph, and you got the shepherds. And in fact, we'd have one in front of our home. The only thing is, after that move, camels got hurt. He's missing two legs. Mary tried getting her nose done, and it was completely botched. It was just all just in complete pieces. So we couldn't do that. Now, the only, it's weird, but the only ones that were in one piece were the wise men. And they had their, you know, their pimped out Hugh Hefner robes on, and we were just kind of looking at them. We're just like, what is this? These wise men. Who were these group of guys? Who were these dudes? What were they all about? Well, here's what we do know about them. They were called magi, which means they were a combination of philosophers, scientists, astronomers. And we don't know exactly where they came from, but the Bible tells us that they traveled for many months from the east. So it could have been from Israel, Iran, India, even China. We also know that they were very wealthy, educated, made a long trip to find Christ. Now, how many wise men were there? Well, typically people say there were three because of the three gifts that were given, but we don't know if there were, there could have been two, there could have been an entourage of those guys. We don't know. Again, the reason why we think three is that the three gifts that they were brought, but there was this one theologian that I read that he said that they oftentimes people don't want to include the fourth gift because that fourth gift was that dreaded fruitcake. And ain't nobody want that fruitcake. It's just a hint. Anyone thinking of getting a pastor that sits up on your fridge for 3 years and it tastes the same and looks the same. So what exactly did these guys do that made them so wise? What did they do that made them so famously known? They took three specific actions. And if we want to be wise in our approach to life, in our approach to God, then here's what we can do. Number one, we see that they seek the truth. Wise people seek truth. Wise people aren't content with playing the guessing games. They want to know the truth about life. They want to know the truth about God, and they seek it. Notice verses 1 and 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, here's them seeking the truth. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? They're asking, who is this real king so that we can worship him? They were seeking the truth about Jesus. Wise men and wise women till this day seek the truth about Jesus. How about you? Where are you at? You a wise seeker, you a spectator? Because really there's two types of people. There's two kinds of people when it comes to finding the truth. There's those who speculate the truth. They just kind of, well, I don't really want to seek it. Let's just guess what it is. and they wander, and they live off of assumptions. And spectators, let me tell you, they love to argue. And they'll go around in circles. They'll go around in circles. But they never want to go to the truth. They always want to separate themselves from God. They want to separate themselves from Jesus. They don't want Jesus. And yet Jesus said, He is the truth. On the other hand, you have why seekers. They take the time to find the truth. They ask questions. That's what the wise men did. They studied all this ancient text, and they're asking, who is this true king so that we can worship him? And then genuine seekers, you know what they also do? They do whatever it takes to find the truth. These wise men were willing to go to any length to find it. They traveled hundreds, maybe even thousands of miles. And here's the sad thing. Many people nowadays, they want to know the truth, but they don't want to take the time to find it. Most people won't take the time to find God. And my hope is that we would go to any lengths necessary to do whatever it takes to find the truth about our God, to find the truth about even our family or our finances or our health or our life and problems that just keep us tied to the past and why those hurts and habits still hang on, that we would seek those truths. Because Jesus said, the truth will set you free. And so if you want to experience God's presence, if you want to experience freedom, if you want to experience the blessed wisdom from God, then we must seek the truth. And number two, wise people rejoice in God's guidance. We rejoice in God's guidance. We rejoice in the fact that God has already taken this first step towards us. He's made the first move towards every one of us so that we would come to know Him. He wants us to help experience His presence. And you know what He does? He gives us a star of our own. He gives us this sign, this travel guide, a Google's map, if you will. The wise men, they had a special star, a very special star. Now, some people say, hey, it wasn't a star. You know what it was? It was a supernova. It was a comet. It was an asteroid. Look, whatever it was something different. And in all the galaxies that they had been studying for years and years and years, all of a sudden, this one star appears. And this wasn't normal. This wasn't something that happened all the time. And they began to follow it. And the Bible says that it led them east, directly to Jerusalem. And then it turned them south and to Bethlehem. And then it settled right over the roof of Mary, Jesus, and Joseph. No one had ever seen a star like that. God used this custom-made star to redirect them to Christ. And you know what? God often does this where He'll send a different star in different ways in our lives to direct us towards Jesus. And chances are, for many of you, right now, He's guiding you. You just might not have recognized it. Your star may be a book. It may be someone that you know. It could be a door hanger that's hanging right there on your door, inviting you to a Christmas service. It could be an experience that you had. Sometimes a star could even be a tragedy in life, which leaves you changed. God will use whatever it takes to show you the way to Jesus. And if you recognize this star, okay, if you see it, then we should do what these wise men did. Look at verses 10. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy, filled with joy. In the original Greek, this word joy means that they were jumping up with so much excitement. And I started thinking, what event brings us that kind of joy? And then I know that a lot of you are hunters here. So I thought, well, maybe you're out there hunting and you see a 12-point buck with 180 score. Am I saying that right? I don't even know. Yeah, all right. So you see that, you hunt it down, it's yours, hang it up on your wall. But then I thought, nah, still doesn't really reach that mark of joy. All right, what about this? You receive an unexpected inheritance from your great aunt, several million dollars. You read it. You run to the bank and deposit it. You got some incredible joy in you, but still that kind of joy misses the mark. So I was thinking, what could bring this kind of joy? And I think I got pretty close. Still fall short, but I think I get pretty close. Super Bowl. 2017. Buffalo Bills versus the Dallas Cowboys. seconds left. Bills are up. 6 points. Dak, okay? He's under the center. He takes it back. Boom, defensive player knocks him down. Jerry Hughes knocks him out. He's hurt. There's 10 seconds left. He's not getting up. In comes Tony Romo. Ten seconds left, okay? Hey, boom, touchdown pass. End of game. Dallas Cowboys win the Super Bowl. What kind of joy? Well, hey, what would you do on something like that? I was thinking about you. What would you do this quarter? You'd run right out, pajamas and all, wouldn't you? Screaming. Yeah. Scream. Cowboy. See? That's the kind of joy. These guys, these wise men were so overwhelmed with joy that they jumped up and down. They were full of excitement. And listen, if you are a believer, I want to challenge you sometime this Christmas. Thank God for the stars in your life. Thank Him for the guidance and the blessings in your life. Thank the Lord for the great joy of those people that He has brought in your life, those events that He has sent your way to help Him find Jesus, your Savior. And if you're not a believer, if you're a wise seeker, you're checking things out, I want to encourage you, use the star. Don't let that sign get away from you. Don't let it get away. Take advantage of it so that you too can be filled with that kind of joy. So to become wise, seek the truth, rejoice in God's guidance. Number three, demonstrate your love. Remember in verse 2, it says that they worshiped him. And so here are these wise men. They've done all this study. They've constantly just read all these scriptures and just so smart. They see this star out of nowhere and it's taking them all sorts of different places. And then all of a sudden it lands right over Jesus, Mary, Joseph home. They walk in. Verse says, as soon as they arrived and found where Jesus was, they immediately bowed down and worshiped him. And you have to think, these well-studied, well-educated men, they see this young child, and they know something's different about him. And so they bow down, and they gave him honor. They worshiped him right there in that moment. They expressed love to him. But see, most people now, they don't want to worship Jesus. You know what they want to do? They want to use Jesus. You know, last night, Rose and I were looking at some old photos. And you always come across the Christmas ones where we take our babies to meet Santa. And, you know, for the very first time that happens, what do? They make those ugly crying faces. But we take the picture anyway. I want to save that. We have some of those. But then when they get to know who Santa is, they're not crying anymore. They have a long list of things they want to share with Santa. They're just sitting on his lap, loving on him. And I think for many of us, I think that's what we try and do. We try and make God our Santa Claus. Like we want him to call us up on his lap and we'll say, hey, Jesus, man, I need my finances worked out. I need you to bless that area. I need this job that I'm looking for. You got to help me in this area. Oh, and by the way, my grandma isn't feeling too well. Can you make her feel good? And that's about it. A lot of people only want God when they have a need. They want to use him, but not love him. We see politicians use God to win votes. Business leaders use God to bless their business. Marketers use Jesus to sell their products. We use Jesus all the time to meet our own personal needs. We want to use him, but don't really want to love him. It's what can we get from you? And then move on. Wise men, totally different approach. They came to him right from the get-go, worshiped him, loved him. Immediate response, that was theirs, to worship him. In other words, they considered Jesus himself to be the gift. He was their reward. And listen, if you don't get anything out of this service, please get this. This is the greatest truth about Christmas. Jesus is the gift. Jesus is the reward. He is worthy of our worship. Wise men, they immediately recognized this and that Jesus was the best gift. And you know what they did? They spent so much time preparing these gifts for him. They weren't like how we do sometimes. You know, when our kids get gifts and we kind of look at them and we don't like them, or we get gifts and we don't like them, what do? We just kind of, we don't open them and we put them in a different bag and we write someone else's name on there. And we. Some of you have done that, I know. I'm guilty of it myself. They didn't do this. They took him the very best that they had. Look at verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down, worshipped him. They opened their treasures, presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Very well thought out gifts. Not just something last minute. Hey, we got to go to a baby shower. Let's just stop. Oh, hey, look, there's a, what is that, a quick fill mark. Can you imagine something like that would happen? Jesus, Mary, Joseph, we brought you some gifts. Snap into a Slim Jim, beef jerky, Red Bull, pack of Marlboros. We hope you enjoy it. No, there's some, let me tell you, there's some serious thought that went into this, these gifts. It was gold, frankincense, myrrh. Let's look at those meanings. Gold, most royal gift of all. Gold was the currency of the king. They brought gold to honor what they believed this young child to be, the true king. And they brought frankincense. This is the type of incense that they would use to worship God. It was called the sweet fragrance of God. Jewish people used this to connect with God. And so here are the Magi. They're saying, hey, this little baby, he's not an ordinary child. He is the king of all kings. He is a God that is worthy of worship. And they're there right before Mary. And here's the gold. Here's the frankincense. And I could just picture Mary and Joseph. They've probably never even seen gold before. And just when they think that's all they have, they say, but wait, there's myrrh. Sorry. Hey, you got to do some of those too, you know what I'm saying? Now myrrh, let me tell you something about myrrh. This was a weird gift. It was an expensive type of perfume. And people would use it to cover their loved ones who have passed. It was to keep the stench of death away. But to bring that to a baby shower? And I could see Mary like, hey, diapers or a formula or a pacifier would have been great, but myrrh? I guess I'll just save this for later. Isn't that weird, bring embalming fluids to a baby shower? But you have to understand, there's a reason why they brought this. They believed every prophecy of Jesus, that he is a Savior who came to die, that he came to earth to die for our sins so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have a new life and be with God forever. That's what Christmas is all about. God loved us so much that he sent his son in our place so that we can have life, so that we can have eternal life. And they wanted to honor that. And so they brought Jesus gold, frankincense, myrrh. And the question becomes, what about us? What kind of gift are we going to bring to Jesus this Christmas? You know, a good friend of mine recently told me, hey, Christmas, it ain't our birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. And it got me thinking. I can't imagine assuming it's your birthday. And I say, hey, meet me at the brick room. And so you show up. And when you walk in, you see all these people. It's a surprise birthday party. You're excited. You're happy. We go sit down. We're sitting around the dinner tables. You're eating. And you look at the corner, and you see all these gifts. In the back of your mind, you're thinking, man, look at all these gifts for me. You're enjoying your food. We sing you happy birthday. You blow out the candles, and you start going towards those gifts. And there we are, and we have these gifts, and we're ready to pass out to you. But instead, we look at each other, and we're like, we start just kind of passing our gifts around to one another and leave you, the birthday boy, out. Isn't that what we do for Christmas? You feel totally shafted, wouldn't you? Well, that's Christmas right there. Everyone gets a gift except Jesus. And if you're here and you're thinking, hey, well, what about? I mean, God, he's God. He doesn't have, he has everything he ever wants, doesn't he? Well, here are three gifts that he doesn't have. And it won't require last minute rushing, shopping mall purchasing. First one, give him your trust. Jesus doesn't have your trust unless you give it to him. Trust is a voluntary matter. Let me put it to you this way. 2017, what are you hoping God will do in your life? Bible says that we should pray and do it with faith, expecting God to answer. So if we're expecting God to do incredible things, you know what he's going to do? He's going to do incredible things. And if we expect him to do little, you know what he's going to do? Very little. And if we're expecting God not to do anything in our lives, and you know what? He won't do anything. Because every time God moves on earth, it's because of someone's faith. Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done. Give him your trust. Second thing you do, give him your heart. What did Jesus say? Wherever your treasure is, your heart is also. Whatever cost, you value. Well, guess what? Christmas Eve, I want to do something special. That day, whatever we give to the offering is going to go to a Kenya Children's Fund. Now, what is that? Let me tell you what that is. Here you have kids out there in Kenya rummaging, families even, through just nasty dumping sites looking for food, looking for something of value so they could resell it. They're very hungry, they're very desperate, they're very vulnerable, and they will resort to stealing, prostitution, even drugs to survive. And God has provided a hope for these kids, and as a church and as part of what God's doing, we want to participate in doing that. And so this Christmas Eve, that's what we're going to do. And the third gift you can give to Christ, bring others to Jesus. Bring others to Christ. It's all about bringing others to Jesus, and there's simple and effective ways to do this. Yesterday, in fact, some of you made it to this. It was awesome. Some of you went out there and were telling me, I slipped 3 or 4 times. Walking in, all backaches. We went out to Dunkirk. I cannot express to you the faces on some of these people when we handed them an invite and they'd look at it and they would look at us and they would think, you cared this much about us that you would go through this kind of weather to bring an invite to me. We even went through this drug action area where all that kind of action happens. and we were just dishing these out. And there was a young group of kids there, and who knows what they were talking about. They were all in a circle, and they saw us coming, and we went up to them, and we said, hey, man, you need to check us out. It's a totally different church. It's for people like us. You need to go there. He looked at me, very thankful. And as we were walking away, their conversations, who knows, maybe it was about, hey, 20, 50 pounds, we're going to sell it. You know what their conversation was about? Church. And us inviting them. Look, we had a great turnout. I thank you all for being there. I know some of you, you were busy. You had plans already for Saturday. The good news is there's still some left. You could take some after the service. Let this be your gift to Jesus. Bring someone, simple as this, inviting them can change their life. And I want to encourage you, be a star. Be a star to someone this week. Be a light that guides someone to Jesus this Christmas. Would you bow your heads for prayer? Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you are the God of wisdom. And you say in your word very clearly, if we ask for it, we should expect it. And I just pray that, Lord, I just pray that you would give them wisdom in our approach to you, in our relationship with you. Wisdom in our approach with our families, wisdom in our jobs. And Lord, wisdom on how we approach and invite other people. May we be sensitive to your spirit. May we be open to your calling on our lives. Lord, we're so excited for this coming Christmas Eve. We know you're going to do great things throughout this community. We trust in you. We believe in you. We believe in your power to change people's lives. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to do this. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. I want to thank you all for being here. Anyone would like prayer? Be a few of us. I'd love to pray for you. We got some door hangers for those who want to continue or get out there. Thank you. God bless you all.